Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go. Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. It is a Thursday, June the 25th, 2020, 15 minutes past the hour, and away we go, as I say. You know, you may tell already off the bat that I have got high energy this morning. Now, let me tell you, because some mornings I come on the air here, and I clearly have nothing to say. Now, when you're on radio, you have to fill that time, because I've got 2 hours here every morning. You know, some days I'm just looking for warm bodies, and sometimes I come in, and as I say, clearly I have nothing to say. Now, today, I have a lot of things to say. I've actually done homework. I've got new things that I want to talk about, and it's going to be a great morning here on the morning show. Now, the first thing I want to open with what I think is a funny story. Now, it's funny to me, and maybe this will tell you just how sick my mind is. And I feel bad about this. Let me tell you, I feel bad about what I'm about to say. Here's what happened. Now, every so often, as many of you know, who see me out in the community, I don't want to say the name because, you know, you don't want to do any publicity or promotion. But I do work at another place in the community. And I'll say it's a grocery store for the purposes of this story because it is a grocery store. But I'm telling you this just to tell you it's out with the public. And I do like working there. I've worked there for a long time. I have stayed for a myriad of reasons. And every so often, they'll call me in. And I'll go in and I'll work a shift, and I did last night. I was there like 4 to 8 last night. Okay, and I enjoy it. I really like it because it's one of the rare chances. I'll tell you one of the reasons I like it. It's one of the rare chances that I get to meet you who are out there in the listening audience, because if you don't come in here to pick up a prize or I don't see you in here, we don't get to meet. But I meet a ton of people who listen to this show who are in the grocery store. Now, case being last night. Now, this is where I feel awful, because I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe I should see a therapist, because this is what I did. Now, I'm going to confess this story, and the person who I did this to might be listening this morning, so I feel extra terrible this morning about this. Now, last night, what I was doing was I was working the self-scan, and also kind of partially overseeing the upfront, managing what was going on upfront in the grocery store. So I'm working the self-scan, which is a very easy job to do, because unless you're really, really busy, which we were not last night, you can wander all around and go up aisles and check prices and do, you pretty much do what you want. You're like an island off to yourself. So I'm working the self-scan last night, and if you get an adult beverage, or if you buy, sometimes the machines will just mess up, and I'll get an alert that I have to come over and unjam the machine, and that usually takes about 5 seconds. So here's what's happening last night. I get a message to go over to one of the machines on the little handheld device that I have. So I go over to one of the machines, and I start to help the person, and I immediately obtain what the problem is. I immediately have ascertained what the problem is that I need to fix. So this is not going to be a big issue. It's just, it was like a price change or something, which I can do. So I start to do this last night in front of this person, and I like to make conversation. I like to think I'm a conversational type of guy. So I start to make conversation with this person, and I'm not even going to tell you if it's a male or a female, because again, if they're listening this morning, understand that I just probably need therapy, or I don't know. Okay, here's the deal. So I'm talking to them, and I think we were talking about the weather, how it had been so rainy and a little chillier than it normally is in summer and June and all that. You know, just making small talk. And I always can tell when somebody knows me from the radio or from school. So a lot of people know me from school. Because they once they hear the voice, that's when they get it. Because a lot of people don't know what you look like. Because of radio, although a lot more people do know what you look like because of radio, because of social media and things of that nature. So I'm talking to this person and I'm helping them, and immediately I realize, I see that look in their eye that they recognize my voice. And that's okay. I like talking to people, as I say, out in public. But for some reason last night, I don't know, again, maybe could lead to therapy, I did not want to have a conversation about what I had talked about this morning. Now, or yes, would have been yesterday morning. Now, the reason for this is because half the time I don't remember what I talk about. By that point in the day, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, I've already blocked this out of my mind for the most part. Unless somebody brings it up to me, and it's something I really needed to remember. So I'm talking to this person. I can see that they know who I am, or at least they recognize my voice in some way. And the first thing they say is, "Boy, you sure sound familiar." And I, okay, here we go. I know it's coming. The more I talk, and now that they're on to me, I know what's where we're going here. And I noticed at that point that my little handheld buzzer was going off at another one of the self-checkouts. So I knew I did not have much time to talk. So I get the, "I recognize your voice." And then it snapped in their head, and they said, well, I was also wearing a name badge, so this doesn't work very well. So they said, "Aren't you on the radio? I think I listen to you every morning." "Oh, yeah, Scott," because they saw my name tag for the first time. And this is my fault. This is where I think I need therapy. Because what I said to this person, well, after they say that, now remember what they said to me. "Oh, I think you're on the radio. I think I listen to you every morning. Oh, yeah, Scott." That's what they said to me. And what I say to them is, I say, "Oh, no, I think you might be confusing me with somebody else. My voice might sound familiar because I also work the drive-thru window at Wendy's. A lot of people mix that up." Now, why I said that, I have no idea, because that's a complete lie. I don't work at Wendy's. I don't work the drive-thru window at Wendy's, and that would not be where they recognize my voice. And I felt bad about this. Well, I felt as bad as I can feel. You know, an emotionless person, you feel as bad as you can feel. But I feel the need to confess this morning, because I was not trying to be rude to the person. I was not trying to be mean. I was just in a hurry. And sometimes people want to talk more than I have the time to talk. So that's what happened. And I feel awful, because this person might be listening right now, and now they realize that it was me. And I apologize to you. This is like a confession this morning. This is a confessional this morning on this show. This is a little confessional. So my question to you, because I always like to come to you, the listening audience, do you think I did something wrong, or could I have better handled that situation? That's what I really want to know. Could I have better handled that situation, and did I do something wrong? Because obviously it was on my mind last night, or at least enough to bring up this morning. Of course, it does give me material, so that's on the plus, because I've already killed 10 minutes talking about this. So did I do the wrong thing? Did I do the wrong thing, and would there have been a better way to handle that particular situation? Now think about it, because I you know, if I handled it wrong, I'm willing to hear that I handled it wrong. So give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Did I handle that situation wrong? And if I did, how should I have handled that situation? Because it was a lie. It was a blatant lie. I don't work at Wendy's. And yes, I am the radio person who's on here in the morning. So, we've had like a phone drought the last 2 days. So I will be so happy just to hear the phone ring. Oh, and you know what? Just as I say that, it does, and we're on a delay. That's a great thing. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I think you handled it wrong.
Oh well, but tell me, honest to goodness, because I don't doubt that I handled it wrong. What should I have done?
You know, you actually had a fan there that recognized you after a while, and she didn't say anything out of order, and you just should have taken it as a compliment. And, well, thank you very much for recognizing me, you know, recognizing your voice.
Oh, I agree, and I agree, because it happens a lot. It does, which I always appreciate, and I always appreciate when people want to talk. I like to talk to people. It's a lot of fun. But I think what happened in that particular situation was I knew, because some people, and I appreciate this, and when I have the time, I love to stand and talk to people. I'll talk to them all day long. But I felt like if I got into that conversation at that moment, that I was not going to be able to get over to this other person immediately. And I felt bad about that. And I think that's where my mind was at the time.
Yeah. Well, that's just my opinion, Scott.
Well, no, I appreciate it. Because you know what? A lot of people get offended sometimes. I will say this, because I've had to do this before. Somebody will say, you know, are you the guy on the radio? And then I'll say, sorry, I've got to go handle this right now because, you know, I'm at another job. I got to go handle this other thing right now. And they don't like that. They don't like when you, like, cut them off in the middle of the conversation, and I hate doing that. So I guess now my if I know I'm busy, my modus operandi is to tell a lie, and that's totally wrong. It is wrong. I shouldn't have done it. But maybe I just need therapy, like I said. I have to work on a better way to handle that, so that we don't get into a conversation because I'm busy, but yet I recognize and I appreciate that you listen.
Yeah. Well, I think the next time you might handle it a little bit better.
I'm going to work on it, and I felt bad. That's why I wanted to bring it up this morning, because I hope that she says she listened. Now I've said it's a woman. She says she listens every day, and if she's listening, I want her to know that it was me, and that's why I'm bringing this up this morning.
Okay.
Okay, well, I appreciate your opinion.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, now the phones are ringing. We've hit a topic that's of interest. Now, what do you think? Did I handle it wrong? Did I handle it right? And you know, you're smarter than I am out there. There's no doubt about it. How should I have handled this particular situation? And again, come up. I love it when you talk to me. I love having those conversations. And if I've got nothing else to do, I'll stand there, I'll talk to you forever, because you know what? You're far more important to this show than I am. If we don't have listeners, we don't have a show. So I'm always aware of that. And these are the public airwaves. These are not my airwaves. These are the public airwaves. I'm just the steward of this thing for a minute until, you know, I get fired and have to get out of here. Should I have handled it differently? And what would have been the way you would have handled it? Because I know a lot of you out there work in the public too, and you get recognized. So how do you handle it? Because I believe I handled this particular situation wrong, and I feel bad about that. Well, again, as bad as I can feel. And you just have to kind of figure where that is on the spectrum of feeling bad. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And if it strikes you at any point this morning how I could have better handled that situation, let me know. I would love to hear your opinion, or if I handled it wrong. Or maybe there's somebody out there who does think I handled it right, that I handled it in the right way. I doubt there are many of those, but we'll see what happens. 740-383-9944. There we go. Okay, now here this morning. Now, last week, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I don't know. Sometime in the last 2 weeks, we hooked up a new printer in the office, okay? And it's one of these printers where it's a printer, it's a copy machine, it's wireless, so you can pick it up on all the computers in your office. You know, it's one of those computers, or printers. And I think we have 4 computers here in the office. Now, there was something I wanted to print this morning. Now, for a long time, I had not been printing anything because the last printer I had not been working that well. There was something going on with the ink in it. So, this new printer was hooked up in the office about 2 weeks ago, I think. So, this morning, I got up a little early, and I thought, well, I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to configure all the computers in the office to that printer. Because right now, the only printer, the only computer it will work with is the printer in the lobby, because it's directly hooked to that printer. So I came in and I thought, okay, I'm going to take all the other computers and hook them to this particular printer. Honest to goodness, I have no idea what I did. You think it would have been easy. The first problem was there was something I wanted to print on the computer in the studio, which is not directly hooked to the printer in the lobby. So I go to print it. And I hit the print button, and nothing. Nothing at all. So I thought, uh-oh, here's a problem. So then I walked in to the lobby, and I realized, oh, the printer's not on. You know, you should check that before you start. Somebody had shut the printer off. So I walked into the lobby, and I turned the printer on, and I figure, okay, now we're in business. It's all going to work. So I go back to the printer in the studio, and I hit print again. And I go back out to the lobby to wait for it to print out, and nothing happens. Now, at this particular point, I realize that the little wireless button, because it's got a digital screen on it, the little wireless, like icon, I guess is what you would say, the little wireless icon is blinking. So now, I think, oh, the wireless part of this is not hooked up. Okay, so maybe this is the problem. So I hit the little wireless button so it connects to the internet, and it did. It stopped blinking, and now it was a solid wireless icon. So I go back in again, and I hit print, and nothing happens. So I think, okay, we've got a continuing problem here. So I go back into the studio, and I realize that the printer is not showing up under the for some reason I did not notice this, because the printer we have in the office now is a Canon, and the printer we used to have I think was an Epson. So I noticed that the Epson is still there, which is long unhooked now, 2 weeks unhooked, but the Canon is not showing up. Now, does anybody know why? Now, I understand you're not looking at the situation right now, because I still have not figured it out. A matter of fact, I'm thinking about calling NASA today to have them come in and help me fix this. But are there any computer aficionados out there right now that would know what the problem is? Now, don't get too technical on me, because I can't walk into the studio or the office right now to look at the printer. I can't go out there and see what's going on. I can't make any alterations. Maybe if I would have had more time this morning, I could have fixed this problem. I gave myself like a half hour to fix it, and obviously I did not fix it. So does anybody know what I might have done wrong? Call in at any point if you think. Because I know everybody's had these computer problems because all these computers now work the same way. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you know what I might have done? And I'm still trying to figure out, as I look at this computer this morning, because even right now, if I go in and try to print the document that I want to print, it does not give me it still gives me the Epson, and then it gives me an HP that we had years ago. So this HP printer is still under here, this Epson is still under here, but there is no Canon, and the Canon's the only one that's hooked up here. So I go under Find Printer, and when I go under Find Printer, it gives me the listing of computers, but it's only the computers that are hooked up here in the studio. It doesn't give, I don't know why I'd want to find another computer anyway. I'm looking for a printer, not a computer. So I go, and that's all that's on the network right now. So I think what's going on, now this is my guess, I think that the wireless is working on the printer in the office. I just think it's not connected, is what I think's going on. Because I think it was showing me that the wireless is not working, but I think what's actually going on is the wireless is not connected. So if the wireless is not connected, because all the computers up here, I believe, are password protected. So I think that's what's happening. I think the computer is not, or the printer is not connected, and that's why it's not showing up. Now, does that sound right to anybody? 740-383-9944. And maybe during the break, I'll run out there and see if there's some button I can push to find out what wireless connections are available. I mean, obviously the one for the studio is available, but there might be some other ones. So does that sound like why this printer might not be working at this particular point and why it will not even show up on the network here? But you know what else I don't understand? I don't understand, because all these computers are wirelessly hooked up. Well, all of them but one. Three of them are hooked up wirelessly. And I wonder why the wireless one in the lobby is not picking up. Well, maybe it is one of the ones being found. See, I don't know. It's a complicated thing. It's a complicated thing this morning. This printer has given me a headache this morning. So there's another question for you. Do you know what might be wrong with the printer? Do you have any idea why this is not working? Now, I think it's the wireless component here. That's what I believe. But if you have any other suggestions, give me a buzz. And did I act wrongly? I don't think's a word. Did I act improper with the lady last night at the grocery store? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Those are the topics. We had the big Bratwurst Challenge yesterday, and Glenn did find out that boiling bratwurst in beer does change the taste of the bratwurst. And he ate all the bratwurst. He ate the wine-dipped bratwurst. He ate the beer-dipped bratwurst. He ate the regular bratwurst. He did the whole thing. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I
got a world of problems this morning.
I see.
You.
Well, I got my manual down off the shelf, the one I have on aliens, and according to this, I think once you get everything working and it starts printing out, the first word that comes up that you'll know it's working is karma.
Karma?
Yes.
So you think I've created bad karma and that's why the printer won't work?
Well, we're talking grocery store here.
Oh, so you agree that I did the wrong thing last night?
Oh, I don't know. I think you must have lost your mind.
Well, no, but I mean, can you see my side in this thing at all last night?
Well, at first I did, but then when you said that people get put off by the fact you tell them, hey, I work here, I have to do my job, then that's not very understanding either. So, you know.
And that's,
I think you were between a rock and a hard place.
Well, and that's what happens. And I always feel awful about that because usually, 9 times out of 10, people are in the middle of a conversation that I really want to hear the ending of. It's not me who doesn't want to hear the ending of it. It's that, you know, I see out of the corner of my eye or my buzzer's going off and I have to get over and deal with this other thing. And it always comes off very abrupt because you have to do it right in the middle of their story. And you've got to say, oh, sorry, I've got to go over here. And that to me... And I try to say it in the nicest possible way. I even tell them why I'm leaving. I got to go over and help this person. But I think that comes off abrupt to them. I'll tell you.
Well, now, how do you know, Scott?
Because I can kind of see it in their face. They, it's like, you know, I'll never listen to that show again. It's one of those. You know, you're. I even hate to tell this story. It has nothing to do with me, but I think it's such an interesting story. And it was a famous actor years ago, you know, far beyond me. But it reminds me of this, that there was it was just on the tip of my tongue who this famous actor was. A hugely famous actor. But anyway, let's just say it wasn't this person, but I'm going to throw a hugely, let's say, who's a famous actor to you?
Clint Eastwood.
That works. So what? Oh, you know what? I just remembered who it was. It was Jerry Lewis. Okay. So Jerry Lewis told this story, and I think he even ended up putting it in one of his movies. But he was on a talk show one time and said, "No, this really happened. This was reality." He was getting ready to go on stage. He was in one of these, you know, not New York, not California. He was just doing a tour. And he was on stage, and he was Jerry Lewis, big-time star. And he's off in the wing getting ready to go on stage. And one of the people who was working the curtain, who works at the theater, doesn't travel with Jerry, was backstage there, and they see Jerry Lewis there. And, of course, you get a little starstruck. And she walked over to him, and she started to say, you know, Mr. Lewis, my gosh, I've been a fan of yours for years. I've seen all your movies, Nutty Professor and The Bellboy, and I used to watch you with Dean Martin as a kid, and oh, my goodness, you're my biggest fan. And she's really, and he's trying to be very nice to her, and he's just about to go on stage. And you know what? My mother loves you. She's always loved you. She's not feeling very well. Is there any way that you could talk to her on the phone? And this is the days before cell phones. And there might have been a phone. I don't know. But is there any way you could talk to my mother on the telephone? And he said he just turned to her and he said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I got to go. And her response is, I hope you die from cancer.
Oh, my God. Well, that was a nut.
Well, but that's how you feel. And I'm not saying anybody's ever said that to me.
No, I know.
But that's how you feel when you do it. Because then they think, oh, you're just too important for me.
You're trying to get away from me. You're trying to do your job.
Right. And all the love they have for you immediately becomes different.
Different.
And it's funny, too, because even on this level of radio that I'm doing, you know, you really don't know who you're talking to in the morning, but the people listening, they feel like they know you because you end up sharing more in the morning than they do because you're talking for 2 hours every morning. You become a friend in a way. And so they feel like they know you, and in a way they do when they meet you. But you know nothing about them. So it's a weird, it's a very strange dynamic. I enjoy it because I love that, because you know people say nice things. That's essentially what they say. Like, you know, when Charlie passed away, so many people came up to, you find out how many people are listening then. So many people came up to me and said, I'm so sorry to hear about your friend. You know, we're sure going to miss Charlie on the radio. Gosh, Charlie was something. How are we ever going to replace him? I'm still getting that to this week. And that's great. So by and large, it's not a problem. But in that situation last night, I felt like I was about to have one of those I hope you die from cancer moments.
Yeah. Wow. Usually I have some way to handle a situation, but that that is a very difficult one, and I think it's just one that people who are recognized sometimes have to deal with, I guess. And your apology this morning, if the individual is listening, hopefully they truly understand that.
Well, and I think
situation.
Well, and I think one of the, because you know I tend to always work in a public, the public. I like working with the public, and you know, mm-hmm. teach and whatever I do. And in other situations other than broadcasting, it is a little different because normally you've already had time to either meet them face to face or talk to them face to face. So mm-hmm. if you do have to be abrupt some other place, they don't take it that way because they've already talked to you. It's not an issue. They know who you are to some degree. But in broadcasting, when you're talking to people and they're not necessarily talking back all the time, or they're at a work site or they're at work, and I get that a lot too. You know, there's a doctor's office here in town, I've mentioned this before, this is how I know, because I see him at the grocery store. One of the nurses comes up and says, "We have you on all the time." Now, they can't call because they're doing their job, but they say, "We have you on all day long." Now, that's like torture during World War II, but it's nice that they do that. And in that situation, I know, it's one of those things.
So I laughed way too hard.
I know. Some mornings it's torture for me to listen to this show, and I'm a part of it. But it's a different dynamic because you've never, 9 times out of 10, had that. You've never had a conversation. You've never spoken to each other.
Yeah. So, and it may be the only time this person has ever. Actually run into you like that, the one time, maybe, but...
Right, and then you have to be...
That is difficult.
And then you have to be abrupt. So I just lied last night. I just...
Why Wendy's?
And I just cut through the cheese. I just thought, I work at Wendy's. come down and get a Baconator, and I'll help you out.
Yeah, just ask for Scott.
Just ask for Scott down at Wendy's, and we'll get the Baconator. But I, you know, it could be karma. I don't know. It wasn't the nicest thing to do in the world. I realize that now. I realized it when I did it. I mean, I knew exactly what I was doing, but. I just, and you know what, if the other buzzer hadn't gone off, I probably would have handled that a little simpler. But I don't want to deter people from saying things to me because by and large, they're very nice. And there's not a day that I go in there and work, and I don't work there that often, but there's not a day that I don't go in there that somebody doesn't come up and say something nice to me. And that's great. Who wouldn't like that? A total stranger coming up to you.
And I'm sitting here hoping that if this sweet, sweet lady is listening this morning, that she will call in and say, "I understand, Scott. Don't ever apologize. But I appreciate the apology. But, you know,
I
understand."
I don't think I've ever told this on air, but I love this story. This is my favorite grocery store story. Because I've been there for a long time. That's one of the reasons I've stayed, because I've been there back in the college days. And mm-hmm. there are just some perks to it, because it is a union. And whether or not people like unions or not, it is a union. And, you know, you get a lot of benefit from that, even being a part-time, you know, employee mm-hmm. that barely ever comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good job that way. And you get all the perks that the full-time employees get. So one day this person comes in, and I don't even remember if it was a man or a woman. I think it was a woman. But she sees me in there. And for some reason, the juxtaposition of me being on the radio and then being in the grocery store was odd to her. That I was working there. And that I was also this person who is on her radio every morning. It was an odd juxtaposition. So she's telling me, usually what I get is, you know, "Boy, I love the interviews," or "I love the show," or, you know, that's what, it's always very polite.
Mm-hmm.
So she's saying all this very nice stuff to me while I have the time to talk to her. And at the very end, before she gets ready to go out, she turns to me and she says, in a whisper, this was like a confidentiality thing. She said, I hope they start paying you more money at the radio station so you don't have to work here. This is what she said. I laughed so hard. I could not, because as if I'm there for the money at this particular point. I'm there for that big grocery store money. I mean, it was so funny to
now,
me.
Now, was it serious?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because she leaned in and said it confidentially, and it was, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was, you know, I think I get that. But, you know, I think it's hard for people to believe that anybody, unless money-driven, would actually do something. But you know what? I see retired people. I see people who get divorces. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're just, they like doing it. And
I think it's, I don't see anything odd about it, but then...
Only if they pay me more
money.
Right. Only if they pay me more money, I wouldn't have to do it. I love it. You know why I love it? Because what... I used to work at Sears, and that was a very customer service driven job, and uh-huh. and that was back in college as well. And I used to work at Perkins. You know, I had a lot of jobs like that when I was in college because they were flexible and they were easy and they were all local. So, you know, I went to college and then I could do that. And the thing about it was, what I found is, I like to deal with people in that way. I like dealing with them in very short periods of time, but yet they're strangers, so you can have fun with them. And people do like to have fun in public.
Mm-hmm.
And also your coworkers are usually, well, at this point, they just keep getting younger than me. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah,
But they're fun because you get to hear their problems in school, their decisions they're making for college. And, you know, it's not an eight-hour day. I don't go there for eight-hour days. So it's fun. It's just a fun atmosphere. And the mm-hmm. people I work with are great people. So I don't know. It's weird, though, how people assume that it... I mean, is a job always financially driven? It's not for me, I guess.
Right, no, yeah. To me, it never would have been. But then... Like I said, I just kind of march to a different drummer anyhow. But I do hope she was listening this morning, and I'm quite sure she understands.
I think so.
After her.
And I'm sure I will see her again, and next time I will point out that I was wrong, and this whole thing was just a major mistake. But do you think that I'm ever going to get this printer fixed? Because that was very annoying this morning.
Well, I have a question about that that doesn't have anything to do with my alien manual. Isn't your buddy, doesn't he work on computers and such?
Oh, Adam?
Yes.
Well, yeah, Adam does.
Where's Adam when you need him?
I know, you know, you would wonder. You know, he'll listen to this show later on, and he'll, because I think he listens, it's my understanding how Adam listens to this show is we tape everything, and then uh-huh. I think he downloads it to the website, and I think he listens at night when he's on, over at the gym or something.
When he's doing his exercises.
Yeah, when he's doing his exercise. That's perfect time to listen to this show when you're doing your exercises, when we're talking about donuts. What do you make of the apple butter donuts?
I heard that. I was out shopping the other day when I heard that, and I thought, that sounds kind of good to me. You know, of course, you would have to like apple butter, but certainly apples is a very popular flavor. And, of course, with me, if I had a apple butter-filled donut, that would be great. But I think maybe you would have to perhaps make it a different mixture where you have something that's like creamy with the apple butter in it. Versus straight apple butter. You know where I'm coming from here. It's an apple butter mixture.
You know, but the thing I keep worrying about, because I think what's really going to mess this up, because I think you're right. I don't think you could totally inject it. But, you know, don't they, like a jelly donut, don't they just inject the jelly? Is there some...
I think so.
Yeah. So it might... But what I think really...
But with your luck, Scott, they've injected in one end, and it was squirted out the other end, and oh, boy.
All over the place. All over the place. You'd have a mess of
think
epic
about
proportions.
Think about it.
I've had those moments. That's why I stay away from the soup beans. No, I just can't stand the taste of those. I don't even like the smell of those things in that. Oh,
those
awful.
Those are very popular.
I know
very,
they are. People popular. Buy them by the truckload. But
may I inject one other thing that just popped into my mind
yes.
for some strange reason? Letting the old cat out of the bag, you know?
Yeah. What is that?
That was the cat of nine tails. I heard that a long time ago. The cat of nine tails was a whip. That's what, you know. That's it. It had nine tails on it, and they kept it in the bag. And by y'all, you knew you were in trouble if they left the cat out of the bag, because then you was going to get whooped.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't think anybody would know that now.
Well, being a cat.
A cat person.
Person.
Sure.
You know, I keep my cat of nine tails just hanging here on the wall. I don't put it in the bag.
Well, yeah, I think it's bad to put a cat in a bag. I don't know that this would be. I think the Humane Society would be on your doorstep.
Well, you saw on Facebook yesterday where my cat was in the bag. Did you see that?
I did see that picture, a matter of fact.
All right. I am in the process of taking on my niece's cat. That looks like she's going to stay. And she loves to knock down my bag of bags and hide in there for hours.
You know, some cats are playful, and then some cats are very shy, and like they hide when people come in, and you never see them.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's kind of in between.
Kind of in the in between area.
So her and my other cat. Oh my God, they don't like each other. And Bubby is 17 years old.
Oh.
And he does not appreciate Miss Bella coming into his home.
Now, what is the life expectancy for a cat? I've always wondered that.
Oh, I think it all depends. Some people lose their animals so early on, and other people have old-timers and everything. But Bubba, that's my old cat, he is 17, and he's pure. Scott, he's never been fixed. He's never been declawed. He only eats dry cat food and drinks water. And he's always remained a very healthy boy.
That would
he's
be a pure cat.
Yeah, he's a Persian. So, and Persians don't often have, sometimes their systems are compromised, you know, just because they're different.
I don't know if I mentioned this on the air, but I want to make sure to mention it now because you triggered something in my mind. Because, of course, our dear friend Marge Hazlett, who passed away earlier this year.
Oh, yeah.
Love to talk about her cats. And I know she said it on the air because we talked about it, that when her longtime cat, who I think was about 20 years old, Callie the cat, died, I think back in 2016 or 17, Marge had the cat frozen and because she wanted the cat to be buried with her.
Uh-huh.
And nobody knew what happened with Marge because at one point Marge wanted to go to the mausoleum and then... When she died back in February, it was in the newspaper that she was going to be buried in the Marion Cemetery.
What?
Oh, yeah.
She's not out there?
Well, see,
at the mausoleum?
Didn't we all think she was going to the mausoleum?
Well, she had her place paid for, didn't she?
That's what my understanding was. So, here's what, I did not know the answer to any of this, and then one of our listeners, like 2 months ago, went out to the cemetery and said that there was fresh dirt out there next to her grave. So more than likely, Marge got buried. And I felt bad about this because Marge didn't have any kids and her husband died before her. And I was trying to figure out who I would even ask about this, and I think it's too late anyway. And then somebody told me the Marion Cemetery had strict rules on being buried with pets, so I thought, oh gosh, this is even worse. Did they know that the cat was frozen? Did it get buried with
mm-hmm.
her?
Mm-hmm.
But I ran into her niece like 2 weeks ago, and mm-hmm. I asked her these questions. I said, you know, Marge wanted to go to the mausoleum, and she told me that she didn't make the decision, but that somebody made the decision that they felt, basically, as it was laid out to me, that she had bought this huge plot at the Marion Cemetery, and she had a huge headstone because that's where her husband was, and that she had made these plans, and that was the last plans that she had left in her will. So that's why she ended up in the Marion Cemetery.
Wow, Scott. Oh, I remember listening to her talking. She just was looking forward. Well, you know why.
No,
I mean,
she was. She I think she had that mausoleum man on like two or three
Ever
times.
Ever since she was a child and she told her daddy.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Well, so that Marge is in the cemetery. I can vouch for that now.
Yeah.
But I also learned that she was buried with the cat.
Well, good.
So at least that happened.
Somebody
let the cat out of the bag.
Oh,
I would just love for 5 minutes to be able to talk to Marge and say, is that what you wanted? Did you want to go to the cemetery?
Well, no, she didn't. She sat right on the radio and told all of us.
Right, but I feel
and
bad
I thought,
about that.
But I feel... That's not...
You know, but this just goes to show you, you have...
But if it isn't in your papers, what'd you say in her will?
The last will, I guess, that she had done, she had not... And the thing of it is, what is said about that to me is that, you know, I'm sure she's okay, but the thing of it is that, I don't know... how something like that could happen. I don't know if there's just an empty spot at the mausoleum right now. I don't know why the mausoleum didn't jump in when they saw her obituary in the paper and say, wait a second, wait a second. You know, you think you'd pay somebody for that, or at least have a conversation.
Somebody made some decisions after the fact and whatever.
That's the big point. The big point is sometimes, and I've always said it shouldn't be a family member. The person you pick to handle your final affairs should be somebody who can objectively, like if Marge is, and I don't know who her executor was, but I will say this, if Marge had had an executor who, even though her will said she wanted to be buried, if they knew her, which that's what you want in an executor, they would know that she wanted to go to the mausoleum, and they could have overruled.
I wonder why she didn't have her will updated.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if that... She just didn't do it in the last few years.
Maybe she just didn't think of it. Yeah, and yeah, that could be. Yeah.
So it's an interesting morning. I'll say that.
Yeah. But, wow. Well, at any rate.
Yes. But we miss Marge, and we wish her the best at the Mary. Well, she's by her husband. That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
And she's with her cat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for calling so much. Bye bye.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
We're going to break. If that you tried to call and got the busy signal, we'll be back in 15 minutes.
.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.